Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Matt, you do know The Rock played in Beaver Stadium, right?
Yes, I do know that.
1992.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle for Miami. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. And they do a great job of getting you the best deals possible, saving you money wherever they can, and making sure your policies are updated. Insurance is more important than ever. You need to go with the best in the business. That is Purdy Insurance. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day. The defending champs go into Boston and beat the Celtics with relative ease, courtesy of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Williams. Stout defense. Threw it to himself. Oh! He's eviscerating the Celtics inside. Wow! Everything you want in a superstar, Doris.
6'11", 240. You stand him up. He says, no problem. I'm going to go around you, put it off the window. How about this? Looks like he's in a gym in Athens just playing by himself. And the bench has the same reaction as Mark Jones.
Mark Jones, Doris Burke with the call yesterday on ABC. Reuben Frank now joins us, NBC Sports Philly. Rube, great to have you back.
You know, I was wondering if The Rock sacked Tony Saka in that game.
It would have been probably John Saka.
Johnny Saka. Okay, yeah, I guess in 92, Tony was with Arizona, I guess.
Yeah. Tony was here 88, 89, 90, 91. So it would have been John Saka, and the game ended up being a 17-14 win for Miami that day.
Well, I will look for see how Johnny did. Covered Johnny in high school, and Ralph, and Tony.
Just the whole group of them. Wow, that's amazing, Rube.
Yeah.
Hey, you throw down. Okay. The Dean pick in the third round.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when you saw that? Because, in a lot of ways, he was the heart and soul of that Georgia defense.
He really was. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean a guy's going to be the best NFL player. But I was shocked. I mean, we saw him slipping and sliding. And, you know, they had a long conversation about maybe taking him at 51. And they just really wanted Juergens. They never dreamed he'd still be there when they picked in the third round at 83. There he was. We kind of, you know, he wasn't going to get past the Eagles. And I just felt like they stole him. There's a little risk that comes with it. There are some injuries, but, you know, he was cleared. He's practicing this week. He's going to practice this week at rookie camp. And, you know, he's a little undersized. He's probably got to put on, you know, 7 to 10 pounds of muscle, but he's such a playmaker. He's athletic. He's intelligent. He's instinctive. To get a kid like that, a first-round talent in the third round, they stole him. I don't know how else to put it. Things really fell for them on Friday.
Yeah, no question. I'm with you. I think it was a phenomenal pick by them. Hey, look, if it doesn't pan out, he's a third-round pick. But you know what? I think it's a great pick for them in the third round. What was the reaction when they made the Brown deal?
Yeah, it's interesting. It was kind of shock because there were no whispers. There was no, you know, they're talking, this might happen, this could happen, they're interested. There was none of that. It was out of the blue. So, you know, we were in the media room over at the NovaCare complex, just kind of following the draft, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. So it was kind of a brilliant thing. It really came together quickly. I mean, when you make a trade like that on the clock, you know, they basically had to do you know, they have to do a contract and the compensation at the same time. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of time. So, you know, A.J. Brown had the veto power over the trade because he had to agree to the contract before the trade could get made. So once that happened, and then we heard the compensation, a first-rounder and a third-rounder, and I was really surprised. I thought, you know, we heard about the trade before we heard about what they gave up. I figured a one and a two and then maybe like a five next year or, you know, something. Mm-hmm. So to get him for a one and a three, a guy who's just a very consistent 1,000-yard type guy, I thought it was a terrific deal.
I mean, what does this do for Devontae Smith, in fact? Because now you got a legit NFL-level number one opposite him. How much can Smith now thrive, in your opinion, because of the presence of Brown?
No question about it. And, you know, sometimes in year two, we see guys kind of take that step backwards because teams know him now, and they know what he's all about, how he plays. But now you have a guy who you've got to really devote some resources to defensively on the other side. I mean, he was playing opposite Jalen Reagor last year. Jalen Reagor played 750 snaps, and he just was a non-factor. So, you know, and Devontae still had 900-some-odd yards. So to have a legit Pro Bowl wide receiver on the other side, it's going to help him so much. And I'll tell you what, I was trying to think of the last time the Eagles had two legitimate wide receivers. You have to go back to Deshaun and Macklin. I mean, you know, go back, and there haven't been a lot of times they've had two really good ones. Harold Jackson and Ben Hawkins, how about those guys? They were pretty good.
Right, they were pretty
good.
But
it's few and far between. And, you know, and Quez Watkins is a heck of a number three. I mean, he had almost 700 yards last year as a third receiver, as a sixth-round pick. So I think they're in better shape than they've been in a long, long time at wide receiver.
Yeah, and wait, they haven't even mentioned having Goddard at tight end.
Yeah, and he put up receiver numbers. I mean, he averaged 15 yards a catch. He had one of the highest averages in history by a tight end. So that's four legit weapons they have, and that's going to make Jalen Hurts better. You know, he's going to drop back and have somebody who's going to be open, and so, you know, he's going to be a playmaker.
I will openly admit the Jordan Davis pick I'm mixed on. Mm-hmm. I know what the athleticism is. I got it. But I also know the lack of pressure that he puts on when he was taken out on third down, and he only averaged 25 snaps a game. And I watched him in the SEC title game melt away in the fourth quarter because he wasn't in shape.
Yep.
Simple as that. But it doesn't mean he's not talented. What did you think of it?
Yeah, you think at 13 you want a guy that can do both. You know, you're taking a run stuffer at 13 who doesn't have pass rush skills. And we asked Howie Roseman and Andy Weidel about that, and they said, you know, he wasn't asked to do that at Georgia. And he came off the field on third down, you know, because they had so many talented pass rushers, and they said they believe it's in his body, it's in his DNA to be able to get to the quarterback. He's probably got to lose 20 pounds, and he's got to get in better shape. But I don't know, that'll happen here. I mean, he'll be on a program that he's never been on before, and you know, he'll be asked to get to a certain weight. And they feel like he's got the quickness and the power to, you know, maybe not be a 10 sack guy, but be a 5 or 6 sack guy. And you know, I think when you take a guy at 13, he's got to be that. He's, you know, the Eagles have taken a few defensive tackles in the top half of the draft, Corey Simon and Fletcher Cox, and those are double-digit sack guys. So, you know, you want a one-dimensional guy, you get him in the second or third round. So they believe, you know, it's a risk, and you're right. And he's got to get in shape, and he's got to be a guy who can make plays in the fourth quarter. You're not doing much good if you're gassed by halftime. So it's a little bit of a risk. There's no doubt. They believe it's a risk that's worth it because he's such a beast against the run, and they believe that if he does get in shape, and they feel like he's a good kid who will, you know, with the nutritionist and the strength and conditioning people, that he can get to, you know, about 330. I think he played at 345 this year, so he definitely needs to work on that.
There were times he played at 360, to be honest.
Probably true. Yep.
Yeah, but we always talk about the influence of veterans. He's going to be in a room with Hargrave and Cox, what kind of influence can they be on his future with Philadelphia?
Yeah, there's no question that stuff is valuable, and that's why you want good people in your locker room, you know, quality character people, because they're going to, even if they know they're on the way out, they're going to share everything they can because they just feel like that's the right thing to do. And Fletcher and Javon are that kind of guy, and I think they're gonna show him how to be a pro, and they're going to show him how to, you know, non-football stuff, you know, where to live, you know, who to trust, who not to surround yourself with, where not to go, you know, investing. I mean, all that stuff, and they'll take him under their wing and teach him how to be an NFL player, and then the rest is up to him to take that and run with it.
Rube, is it safe to say that based on the names on the paper that the Eagles closed the gap on Dallas?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I don't think they've caught him because Dallas has Dak, and Dak is better than any quarterback in the division. And, you know, so until somebody can, you know, until a quarterback in the NFC East can close the gap, I think it's going to be really tough for a team to close that gap. So, you know, Jalen Hurts potentially can be that kind of guy, but he's got to do it. And I think, like you said, having more weapons will help him, but he's got to be more consistent. He's got to be more of a playmaker down the field. And if he can do that, I think they've upgraded a lot of areas that they needed to. So, but I would say Dallas is still the team to beat. I don't think Dallas had a particularly good draft. So, long term, I think, you know, the Eagles have some young talent for the first time in a long time. They've had two pretty good drafts in a row. So if they can get some more consistent play out of the quarterback, they have a chance to catch the Cowboys.
Rube, always great talking with you. I know you've got to get to your next assignment. We appreciate your time very much.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Reuben Frank, NBC Sports Philly. It's fun for me to have a realistic conversation about the Eagles draft. I have fun. I have fun at your expense. You know that.
I'm used to it, yes.
I love how enthusiastic you are and how passionate you are. And to my credit, I use it against you. Oh, my goodness. All the pressure, by the way, is on Miami tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay with the Sixers being the underdog and in this spot. I am.
Boy, they do need him back, though. They can't beat him without him.
Agreed.
They can win a game without him. They can't win the series without him. If I were Doc Rivers, I would have pulled out Houston Rocket tapes from 3 years ago, and I'd pulled James Harden aside. See that guy there? We sort of need that tonight. Okay. It would really help our cause.
He did some of that in Game 6.
No, he took 12 shots. All right. But you act like I can't read a stat sheet. He was 7 of 12. Okay. Harden's like 30 shots a game when he's in Houston. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, he's because he's getting the foul line more.
Yeah, because he had the ball.
Right.
Yeah. No, he still had Joel Embiid in the game. And look, do I take Embiid out of the game at that point? I'd have been playing him too. Come on, anybody who says I'd have taken him out, like that's not how it's not how it works at the pro level.
You know what happened? It was a cheap shot by Pascal Siakam. It was a cheap shot because of how the fans were treating him. Even the Raptors TV commentators, even said when after Embiid did the flying thing he normally does, then afterwards he gets slapped by Siakam in the foul. And everybody's cheering for it. And even the commentators said, oh, that's what he gets. So that was the reason why he's hurt is because of the cheap shot of the Toronto Raptors. That's why he's hurt, not because Doc Rivers kept him in. Because the Toronto Raptors are a cheap shot team.
Is this another anti-Canadian rant by you? I mean, you know.
That's right, USA.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
May is National Military Appreciation Month. During the month of May, we will honor, recognize, and appreciate all the men and women who have served and are still serving our great country. The United States remains the land of the free and home of the brave because of their selfless service and sacrifice. From all of us at Purdy Insurance, thank you for serving our country and protecting our freedoms.
You have a medical meeting about a week before the draft, and we basically say, this is where we're at. You know, we're going to put them on the board or not. You know, if this is a foul, we're not going to put the kid on the board. And so, you know, coming out of that medical meeting, I didn't think the issue with N'Kobe was the medical. I thought the issue with N'Kobe was, like, if we don't take him in the top 20, are we getting this guy? Probably not, right? He's probably gone. And so when we got into Friday, you know, you have these conversations with your docs, and you basically say, hey, here are a couple of guys that we're looking at 51. N'Kobe's there, and you know, they kind of rewalked us through it. And at the end of the day, we decided to take Cam only because stubbornly convicted about O-line, D-line. And then he's fallen more, and then it almost becomes like, are we sure? Like, I think three times I call, are we sure? Like, then it's just like, let's take N'Kobe Dean.
All right, the convoluted logic of a team that is probably going to be fourth place. All right, so I'm just kidding. That's a long answer to say, you know, we think he's fine. That's what, by the way, he said, we think he's fine. I think he made a great pick. Now, when it comes to the Ravens and Eric and Jordan Stout, I think people need to remember something. Eric DaCosta is the GM of the Ravens. Okay. Now, why is that significant, Matt?
I'm guessing some sort of Penn State connection, considering the last couple drafts especially.
Oh, my goodness. All right, I'll answer it for you. All right.
No.
his daughter goes to Penn State. So DaCosta actually was in Beaver Stadium a few times this year attending games and has been the last couple of years attending games here.
There
so
you go.
He has a really good feel for Penn State personnel, including Stout. Okay. So that's what that's part of the connection. Now, that's not the only reason, because they've drafted all over the place. But when he sees a guy like Stout, he knows what he's looking at, and he's thinking, hey, Sam Cook's going to, you know, as a cap number, is not going to help us cap-wise. Can I get somebody on a rookie contract that can do the same things? And they did. A.J. Brown manipulated the Titans into, hey, look, I want money, this is the deal, he is a cap hit. So they feel Burks is his replacement, and that's what they've done. That's why you saw so many wideouts move. You saw Hollywood Brown move to Arizona. And by the way, you see DeAndre Hopkins has been suspended for 6 games.
Yep, Arizona's good they made that move now.
It's a 17-game season, so he'll be available for 11.
Still a tough pill to swallow.
But he gets moved, cap. Hill gets moved, cap. Brown gets moved to Philadelphia, cap. Adams gets moved to Vegas, cap. I mean, it's a lot of it has to do with the cap number. And the Eagles were the beneficiary of it. Now, the Eagles did not solve their secondary issues in this draft. They only had X amount of picks to begin with. They didn't really solve that. The Davis pick, look, as an athlete, for a man that size, it's unbelievable how well he moves, really. But he's going to have to drop 20. And I'm watching him in the Alabama game, and he is, I mean, I'm talking, he is leaking oil in that game in the last quarter and a half, like to the point where remember I was talking about this after the game? Because they're going to have, in all likelihood, we all thought they'd have a rematch. And I said, he was standing up and just standing up. That's all he was doing. Although I always enjoy the logic of, oh, we think he can be a good pass rusher. Well, at college, if he was that good in college, why wasn't he rushing the passer? Why were they taking him out in third down? mean, obviously they thought they had better options. But as a run stumper, that guy, in fact, he can actually make the outside pass rushers better because he might be able to command attention. All right, Matt Leon, next half hour. You know, the difference between a guy like Giannis, who's an MVP, and a guy like Joel Embiid is there's Giannis out there, the MVP playing. Is your guy playing tonight?
Unfortunately, no. But hopefully game three. If not, it should be game four.
Giannis is playing game two. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun at your expense. You know that poor guy has an eye injury, a eye socket injury, to go with a thumb that needs surgery.
Yeah, because of cheap Pascal Siakam and the stinking Toronto Raptors. Bunch of crybabies up there up north.
I feel like the Blue Jays are better.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, powerboat, whatever it may be. They'll try and save you money. Maybe it's with bundles. Or wherever it's legal, crossing state lines to get the right insurance, the best price, they'll do it. The bottom line for them is that they save you money and you're covered. That's what the pros do at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Matt Leon in a moment. You know, you have a lot of mock drafts out there. Okay. Did you see the Pro Football Focus one?
Not that I didn't see.
Number two pick, Detroit, Malik Willis. E-186. Okay.
You know, that's one thing I appreciated from this draft this year, Steve, is we didn't go nuts. Well, the teams didn't overreach with these quarterbacks. When they're not a first-round pick, they're not a first-round pick.
They didn't. No, they didn't.
It was refreshing to see.
No, you're right. They didn't. They evaluated. Now, next year, you could have as many as six in the first round. Next year, you can have as many as six. We'll see. We'll see how this season plays out. Boy, am I glad we're not doing a show in Cincinnati right now. The Reds are 3-19. Hey. Wow. 3-19. A lot of people will tell you the draft day winners. Most are saying the top two, just based on what's on paper, would be the Ravens and the Giants, it looks like, based on the consensus. The Eagles, there's no question the Eagles on paper have closed the gap on Dallas. And then the Giants, to their credit, put together on paper, geez, one of the better drafts that they've had in a long time. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Jets, too. First round.
Jets had a really good first round, but they had a really good draft overall. I mean, all the way through. Even the Giants later, for example, they took a guy that I think is a functional linebacker for them that I think can play, and that's Micah McFadden.
Yep.
From Indiana. I thought that was a really good pick. Really good pick. All right, tonight... It's obvious Joel Embiid is afraid to play in this series. I don't understand what the problem is. I thought he was the MVP.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Matt has already made it plain that the world is filled with cheap shot artists. And most of them play north of the border.
Correct.
I probably wouldn't have phrased it that way, but that's okay. You do what you got to do. All right.
Let's just say Pascal Siakam, basically everybody in the Toronto Raptors organization are officially on the stinkage, Hall of Fame of stinkage now.
So I guess when they announced the trade, the Titans were having a draft party in one of their luxury suites down in Nashville. When they announced the trade, the team got booed.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, but you're from Philadelphia. You think everything's bad.
I get if you can't pay him or whatever, if you think you can do it, I guess that's one thing. But I think this whole wide receiver movement, let's draft him. And this is kind of the outsmarting thing. Let's try and go to the cheap route. Oh, we can just get this guy, but we don't know that for sure. But we're going to try it anyway because I don't feel like paying my top star, even though he's been the big part of my team. I think this whole movement has been ridiculous. And Charles Davis said the same thing when we had him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, he gets a 4-year, $100 million extension. So, and Burks is not going to command that kind of money. He'll be on a rookie contract. And that's what this comes down to. This comes down to making the financial pieces fit. If you're Ryan Tannehill, you're looking around saying, yikes. We got a problem here. All right. Let's turn our attention now to Matt Leon in Philadelphia. Sir, it's always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Before I get to Joel Embiid, the Eagles draft, when they took Dean in the third round from Georgia, I'm looking around thinking, I don't know if he could have accomplished any more goals, Howie Roseman, in this draft. Between Brown, Dean, I mean, I'm okay on Davis. I mean, he's a run stopper. That's fine. In a league that throws the ball. But you know, other than that, I mean, it looked to me like he made almost all the right moves.
Oh, I think it was a tremendous draft on paper. I think Davis is a freak athlete for his size who, specifically with what Jonathan Gannon wants to do, could really, really be critical to the defense taking a quantum leap this year. Dean, you know, I guess there was injury concerns, it seems like, or at least some people had them.
Yeah.
I also think it was one of those things where everybody kind of looked at each other like, well, if they didn't take them, there must be something wrong, so we're not going to take them. And it just kind of – we see this with the draft, like every year. There's a handful of guys that, you know, this happens to, and he seemed to be the one. And the Eagles don't seem concerned. He said he'll be ready to go for mini camp. So if they're getting the N'Kobe Dean to play linebacker at Georgia, and they got him 83rd overall, that's one of the all-time great heists. You know, and even their second-round pick, Cam Jurgens, a center who Jason Kelsey himself said was the best center prospect and would obviously be the heir apparent, which kind of leads you to believe that this will indeed be Jason Kelsey's last year. You got to, you know, as you did, you've got to include A.J. Brown in this draft class.
No doubt.
And you got a stud, you know, polished 1,000-yard NFL receiver about to enter the prime of his career. And now you're putting him opposite Devontae Smith, and that's scary. That's really scary, and not for nothing, but he's also close with Jalen Hurts. So not only have you added the talent, but you've given your quarterback, who, if there's been endless debate whether the Eagles are sold on him, the fact that, you know, he's got a relationship with Brown leads you to believe that they're doing everything they can to give Hurts
every chance to succeed. And even their last pick in the sixth round, the tight end Grant Calcaterra from SMU played at Oklahoma prior to SMU and played with Hurts. And they've got a relationship. So there's a lot to like. I think specifically looking at the draft, if there's one thing they didn't accomplish, it was in the secondary. That's probably the only – that is, in my opinion, the only place where they really haven't made a splash. But they also signed a couple of undrafted free agents, you know, a kid from Alabama, a kid from Clemson, that – I think were, you know, that very easily could have been fourth, fifth, sixth round picks and just weren't. And, you know, giving them guaranteed money. So I, you know, who knows? You and I could have this conversation in a year and a half and go, God, what a bust. Can you believe that, you know, the Davis kid only played two games before he got hurt and they cut this guy? But on paper. Yeah. Really looks like a really not just a good draft from a talent standpoint, but a good draft that fills holes immediately.
Yeah, because I think Dean, to me, he's healthy. He's a steal. Brown is a legit number one. I mean, couldn't ask for more than that. They got a legit number one out of the draft. Davis is interesting in that I think he's very talented, but he's not a pass rusher. He came out of the game on third downs at Georgia. And he only averaged 25.2 plays a game. I worry about his stamina in the fourth quarter.
No, and it's legit, and we'll see. And a lot of people, and, you know, this could be looking at the glass half full, but that Georgia defense was so good that they didn't need to extend anyone past what they were best at.
Exactly. So, and I've said that 1,000 times on this show, Matt. I said, you know, the difference between the really good teams and those who are in the middle, the really good teams aren't in close games. So that's a big plus.
No, and, you know, that Georgia defense was special. It wasn't just good. It wasn't just college football good. It wasn't just SEC good. It was special. And the Eagles got two starters off that defense. Mm-hmm. And they both fill desperate needs for the team right now. So, you know, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But you cannot fault the decision-making and the effort.
No.
The Eagles filled holes and filled them with quality players.
Agreed. Joel Embiid, first two games probably not going to play, right?
That's the way. Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's even going to travel or has not traveled down to Miami.
Boy, so. I'll tell you what a tough break because again, against Toronto, I thought he played terrific because he had the thumb injury, right? It's a thumb injury, I think.
Yeah, it's a torn ligament in his thumb. Like,
so he needs surgery. Now he's got the orbital bone. Is there a lot of debate down there as to whether he should have been at the game at the time or does it matter?
There is, but. You know, I don't know that it matters because I think you have. I think if you and I were to just take a random sampling of 20 NBA games that were 30 points, you would have the starters in there at that point in 85% of them. Is that right?
I agree with you, and I think that's the way most coaches look at it. I agree with you.
And you've also got a coach in Doc Rivers who, you know, and rightfully in my opinion, so was getting grilled over his teams not being able to close people out.
Right.
So. You got a coach who's obviously not going to take anything for granted in that situation. It's just unfortunate. Like, it's just a lot of things kind of come together.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he can play, he will play. Like, you know, he'll be out there with the Phantom of the Opera mask like he was a few years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and now I think it'll be interesting. You know, everybody's picking Miami, and I get it. I don't think it's crazy they can steal one.
Right.
In Miami. And, you know, a lonely city turns its eyes to James Harden. And he's been better than I think he's been given credit for. Yes, maybe he's not the James Harden that was dropping 50 a game for a while there in Houston a few years ago. But he's been an incredible facilitator. And I think he has taken a backseat offensively because he knows it's Joe's show.
Yep, I agree.
So, it'll be interesting here, because I would imagine, you know, if I'm Doc Rivers, you go up to him and say, you know, James, you're our guy tonight. Like, go to work. And take your chances. Miami's not going to have Kyle Lowry. In my opinion, of the three teams that were left, Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami was the one I would – I thought the Sixers matched up the best with. Now, that was with Embiid, obviously. But, you know, and this also kind of screams, when everything's pointing in one direction, it seems to go the other. So, we'll see.
Yeah. No, but you know what? If I'm Doc, I walk up to him and rack up one Rockets tape from 3 years ago. He said, remember when you did this? Mm-hmm. Sort of need this right now.
Yeah.
Probably would help us a little bit.
No, and I, you know, I would think he'll try. Like, he's an incredibly smart basketball player. He's not just talented,
yeah,
but
smart.
He really gets how the sausage is made. So, you know, we'll see. And it's funny, you know, all of a sudden now there's no pressure on the Sixers. You know,
that's true.
Dynamic of, you know, you're going into Miami. I think I saw that all 19 ESPN experts picked the Heat, and a lot of them picked the Heat relatively easily, like in five.
Mm-hmm.
So Sixers going to be able to go down there free and easy, and if they can steal one, and then all of a sudden Embiid comes back in three, then all of a sudden, you know, the winds have significantly changed. You know, but Miami's really good, and they're here for a reason, and, you know, but we'll see. It should be interesting.
All the pressure was on the Celtics yesterday. They didn't respond well, so we'll see.
Yep.
All right, my friend. It is always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you for the time. Take care.
Perspective. It was just a couple of years ago that the Raiders draft was lauded, right? Oh, what a great job they did. The guys they picked. Farrell, Josh Jacobs, right? Well, remember something. When you look at Jonathan Abram, Josh Jacobs, Cleveland Farrell, right? After that 2019 draft, NFL.com gave the Raiders a B-plus grade. Bleacher Report gave them an A. Farrell, Jacobs, and Abram. You know what all three of them have in common as first-round picks? All of them found out yesterday that the team will not exercise their fifth-year options. You just don't know. You just don't know. Matt's been jumping up and down with the kids for 3 days now.
That's right.
Right.
Well, Thursday night was particularly incredible because, of course, everything happened in the first round with the Eagles, and the Sixers closed out the series with the cheap shot Raptors, but
just so bitter. And by the way, I know that Jason Kelce loves Cam Jurgens, who, by the way, is a very good center out of Nebraska.
That was going to be my question, if you liked him or not.
I think he's very, very good. He is not the best center of the draft. Right? He's the best. No.
Oh, that was definitely Tyler Linderbaum.
Tyler Linderbaum of Iowa.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean, when it came time for me to vote, because Penn State in 2020 played against Nebraska, as you know. Right? So, I mean, I've seen both the guys, you know, and then watched them on tape. Jurgens is really good. Really good. But I Linderbaum's kind of a cut above guy. I think that was a great pick by Baltimore. So, all right. And it has nothing to do with Jurgens. I'm just saying, but don't. He's the best center in this draft. Nah, you know what? In terms of, I think Linderbaum's better, but I still think he's a heck of a pick for Philadelphia. How about that? Because, I mean, because they got Davis, and they got the trade to get Brown in the first round. They're not, and when you do that, you're not going to get Linderbaum. So who's your next best pick at that position once the top guy is gone? Jurgens was definitely the best guy. And in that spot in the draft, it was the right pick to make at that moment. Fair enough?
100%.
Yeah. Just, and again, nothing to do with that. You could have eight great centers. Jurgens and Linderbaum may end up being two of them. Nothing wrong with that. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment. And hopefully, he sent me a video of the
his son attempting to spell Eagles, and he missed some letters. It's just, it was really kind of sad. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Luke. It was you. Oh. You're right.
Oh, my almighty.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
This team won a lot of games by a lot of points. Is he playing in the fourth quarter when, all due respect, they're beating Georgia Southern by 40 points, right? Like, is that a situation where, like, you know, he's going and he's just, you know, they're winning by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. He's just rushing. You know, you don't see that as much. He had a sack against Alabama that was called back. There was a penalty. That doesn't count. No, does it change now when he's got 3.5 sacks or 4 sacks? So I think for us, we knew what was in his body. We knew what kind of player he could be. And obviously, listen, if this guy had 8 sacks, would he be anywhere near the 13th pick in the draft for us? No way.
Look, no offense, but Howie, Alabama's a big time team. Standing up, literally standing up and getting and just like doing nothing in the third and fourth quarters in the SEC championship games because you're too tired is an issue.